Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I want to get right to the Word today. This morning we're talking about, this is week two of navigating an uncertain future. And every week, as a matter of fact, when I started this series a month ago, I kind of got a little bit fearful because I thought, what will happen if June rolls around and all the uncertainty is gone? I will have this whole series about how to deal with uncertainty when uncertainty is no longer with us. But here we are in the middle of June, and how many would testify that we are still in the midst of a lot of uncertain things? As a matter of fact, this morning, I woke up, I turned on my favorite news app, and I began to check the news that's going on around the nation, and I learned this morning of more uncertainty, unrest in our nation that I didn't even know existed when I went to bed last night. So we are living in a world of uncertainty. Many of you, your job is uncertain, school is uncertain, certain things you had planned for your family is uncertain. There's just uncertainty everywhere. And if you're a person that likes to plan, or if you're a person that maybe you're responsible for planning, uncertainty can kind of make you crazy. And a lot of you have been dealing with uncertainty in a lot of ways. Some of you have like turned into redoers and house remodelers and spring cleaning that's been going on for years. How many of you have done more work on your house this season than ever before? Right? I mean, I go to Home Depot and the line is out the wazoo. So actually, I don't go to Home Depot. I just leave because I don't like lines. And so I call you guys and say, hey, can I borrow your something or another? Because I don't want to go wait in line. But one of the things that I've seen a lot of people do, as a matter of fact, my neighbor was doing this thing this morning on my way to church. One of the things that I have done, and I got to do some more of during this time, we have some, can't go anywhere, so you got to stay home and do stuff, is there anyone in the room that's sort of addicted to pressure washing? Anybody? You know, even if you're not addicted to it, let me tell you how you can get hooked. Start. Right? Because you may think, okay, I need to pressure wash this 10 by 10 square on my porch that looks kind of grubby. But once you start pressure washing that, you realize that the part next to it looks worse, right? And so you have to do that. And then you see that part is done, and it just the more you wash, the more you see that needs washing, and you don't even realize how much concrete you have around your house until you start using the pressure washer. Well, I'm just bringing that up this morning because part of navigating uncertainty is understanding that though God did not cause, and I want to say this very out loud, as loud as I can, God did not cause all the uncertainty you're dealing with today in your life. Now, we know that God can send things to get our attention, but there's so much uncertainty today. I'm not really convinced that God has done everything that people are dealing with today that's called uncertainty. But here's what I do know, is that God can use uncertainty to pressure wash or to purify our lives. Matter of fact, we're going to look in Scripture in a few moments that reminds us that God does use pressure. He does use uncertainty. He does use hard times. Not that He causes those hard times, but He uses those hard times. You could say He redeems those hard times to purify our life. So this morning, I want to talk about trusting God through uncertainty. One of the ways that God purifies us through uncertainty is as we choose to trust Him through uncertainty. 1 Peter chapter 1 is our text today. It says in verse number 6, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong, I want to repeat that. So when your faith remains strong, notice that Peter didn't write, if your faith remains strong. He says, when your faith remains strong. I think this would be a great place for us as a church just to confess out loud this morning this fact that my faith will remain strong. Amen. Could you say that out loud with me this morning? My faith will remain strong. Doesn't matter how uncertain life gets. Doesn't matter how hard life gets. Doesn't matter how sick my life may become or what I'm dealing with. My faith shall remain strong. So he says, when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You love him even though you have not seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and I'm thankful in the midst of uncertainty, we have a certain hope. In the midst of uncertainty, we can be certain who is leading us and guiding us, who is meeting our needs and providing for us. We can be certain for the one that is watching over us is faithful. Lord, we thank you that that's you today. So, Lord, I pray that the next minutes of time, you help us to hear what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. Lord, help me to speak what the Holy Spirit wants us to speak. And we'll give you thanks for it. And everybody in the room said amen. Now listen, no one gets excited about pressure or pain, right? No one gets excited about going through painful times or pressure times. As a matter of fact, if there was a pill you could take that would just say, hey, take this pill and you will have no pressure and no pain for the rest of your life, many of us would say, sign me up, right? We'd say, let me have that. That sounds pretty good. But here's what I've discovered is a lot of the most beneficial aspects of my life have been delivered to me by the Lord in times of pain and in times of pressure. So I want to give you my sermon and sentence this morning. It's this: the best path through uncertainty is paved with trust in God. The best path through, say that word with me, through. See, God hasn't called us to live in uncertainty. He's called us to live through uncertainty. You have to understand that the issues you're facing with today have not come to stay in your life forever. You're going to pass through this uncertainty. And the way you pass through is with trusting God. But I will give you a warning this morning. The moment you stop trusting is the moment you get stuck. See, you could live the rest of your life in the uncertainty that's caused in your life right now. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of concern in the medical community and just the community at large, the psychology community. There's a lot of concern that some of the things that people are going through during this COVID-19 crisis, the stay-at-home issues that's been going on around the nation, there's a lot of concern that around the world there's going to be lasting effects in people's physical and mental life because of what they've experienced during this season. And friends, that is a very, very rational, very legitimate concern. If you don't trust God through this thing, what you're experiencing can stay with you. But if you'll learn to trust God through it, he'll get you through it. See, Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, there's a passage that says, though he was a son, it says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, there's actually multiple times in the Word of God where it says Jesus learned, Jesus grew. And I know that when we think of Jesus, we know he was born, he came on the planet Earth, he was 100% God, he was 100% man, and sometimes the idea that Jesus had to learn something through something kind of boggles our mind because we know he was 100% perfect, we know he's 100% pure, but yet Scripture kind of lets us know there's something Jesus learned through the pressure times of his life. With some of the prayers we learned, so think about when Jesus prayed in the garden, he said, Lord, not my will be done, but yours be done. He learned how to submit to the Father even in the hardest moments of his life. He taught us how to submit to the Father in the hardest times of his life. So I'm just telling you this morning that you have to trust God even in the midst of uncertainty, and Jesus is our example. So how? What does Peter tell us in our text today? How can we trust God through uncertainty? That's the question I want to answer this morning. Number one is you have to remember that there's joy beyond your current pain. Peter said in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, so be truly glad. That's almost a command, isn't it? He doesn't say, you should be. He says, so be. So be glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. I don't know if you noticed this morning, sometimes when you have something in the same place for more than 30 days, you know, people tell us once you see something one time for 30 days, you don't see it anymore. And on the front porch of our church, we've had these big banners now for about a year or two that says, the best is yet to come. And maybe you don't even notice those when you walk in today because you've walked past them so many times. Can I tell you what Peter's basically saying? Is that you can be joyful knowing that the best is still yet to come for you. Amen? The best is still yet to come to you. I believe that some people say that life is over when they put you in the ground. I disagree. I think life is over when you become convinced that your best day was yesterday. See, Peter says, be joyful, and then he tells you why. He says, because there is wonderful joy ahead. The best is yet to come. Peter's reminding you that as a believer, your best day was never yesterday. Your best day's always in front of you. Amen? That's why 1 Peter chapter 5, he says it again. He says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing the same kind of suffering is being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, I've read that 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 9, many of times. Resist him, right? Stand firm in your faith. A lot of times when I read that scripture, resist him, I think a temptation coming to my life, right? Maybe you work in a place where you're the only believer in your office, or the only believer in where you work, or where the class you're in at school back when we had such a thing. You know, maybe you're the only person that's standing for Jesus. And a lot of times when I read this scripture, it says, resist him, firm in your faith. I always think of these outward temptations that are trying to influence and sabotage my faith. But sometimes we have to remember that resisting the enemy is not just about saying no to the things on the outside. Sometimes you got to say no to the voices on the inside. You got to say no to things like doubt. You got to say no to this idea that my best day was yesterday. You got to say no to the idea that no one cares and no one understands. Saying resisting the enemy is not just about outward attacks. It's also about the inward temptations that cause you to look backwards or lose hope. I was thinking about the children of Israel this past week, getting ready for this sermon. When it comes to this part of this message right here, I thought about the fact that a lot of their temptations, a lot of things that got them into trouble as they were going from point A to the promised land, the Egyptian army, think about it, had already been swallowed up and destroyed. So they didn't suffer from outward pressure, they suffered from inward pressure. And if you're not careful, the outward pressure in your life can create inward temptations that you got to deal with. So you got to remember the best is yet to come. You got to remember there's joy beyond your current pain. You got to remember that Romans says that we know that God works together all things for the good of those who are called for his purpose. There's a song on the radio right now, and it's sang by a guy named Corey Asbury. I'm not sure if you've heard it or not, but there's a lyric in that song. The song's called Father's House. And the phrase in that song that I really love says this. It says that if the story isn't good. You heard that song? Let me just ask you this morning. Tell me your story. And right now, if your story isn't good, that is not evidence that God has forgotten you. That's not evidence that God is forsaking you. That is evidence that you need to do what 1 Peter says. You got to be joyful and understand that there is a wonderful future for your life ahead. Secondly, this morning, is you got to allow pressure to produce God's character in you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested. It's fire test gold. You know, I was in college. There are certain classes that I just, you're not supposed to hate things. But there's certain classes I just hated. Have you ever just hated a class? I loved the teacher. Hated the class. It was 8 a.m., Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and the class name, the name of the class was Fine Arts Art. If you're an art lover in the room today, please love me anyway, but I hated that class. You walk in, you sit down, they turn the lights off, and they got one of those projector things that just show slides, and they got the remote control, and in a dark room, nothing but a monotone professor is saying, and this is a painting by, and he just, for an hour, in the dark, I mean, that's the recipe at 8 a.m., that is a recipe for a great nap. I hated that class. I've got the grade to prove that I hated it. But there was one part of the class I appreciated, and that was the part when we got to studying like statues and sculptures. And I even got a picture of one of those this morning. I got to this part of the class, and I actually stayed awake and paid attention for this part because I would look at images like this of work, and I would think, how in the world does someone chip away sand and saw with such detail? It captured my attention that all this detail, do you know how these details were made? Do you know how this beauty was accomplished? Pressure, right? Pressure by chipping, pressure by standing, pressure by grinding, pressure by the friction of an artist. Can I tell you that the God that you serve is the master artist? And just as this artist worked and applied pressure to bring something beautiful out of what was just ordinary stone, can I tell you, God is working in your life. He's using the pressure that you're going through and the pressure I'm going through to create something beautiful, even in times we don't understand. That's why Romans chapter 5 says that we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. So we can navigate the uncertainty knowing that it's developing us. You know, when I was in kids' church, we used to sing a song. Pastor Dave, I don't know if we still sing this song, but we used to sing this song called He's Still Working on Me. Right? Remember that song? And here I am. I learned that song when I was probably 5 years old, and here I am 43 years old, and I can just testify He's still working on me. He's still applying pressure to my life. He's still using the things that I think are working against me and using them for me. And I'm convinced He's doing the same for you. Third, this morning, you can trust God through uncertainty by keeping your faith strong. Talked about that as we were reading Scripture a few moments ago. We got to keep our faith strong. I like what Adrian Rogers, the pastor, said years ago. He said, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. See, our faith grows as it's tested. And the more your faith is tested, the more it can be trusted. Proverbs says that fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests our hearts. See, your battles you're facing today, the pressures you're facing today are actually qualifying you for tomorrow's opportunities and tomorrow's passions and tomorrow's battles that God wants you to win. I'm a bold belief in the idea that, you know, when David showed up in the Old Testament to fight Goliath, and Saul said, you're too small, you're too inexperienced, you're unqualified, you're just a boy, you're just a shepherd, you're just a harp player, you're just an ordinary kid. And this guy, he's been fighting since he was a kid. Do you remember what David said to Saul? He said, well, I was keeping my sheep one day, and a lion tried to take one of those sheep, and I fought him off. He said, I killed the lion. Another day I was keeping my father's sheep and a bear came out and I killed the bear. And he said, I believe that the God that helped me kill the lion and kill the bear will also help me slay this giant that's in front of me. What I'm saying is this, David's faithfulness in one season set him up to be victorious in another season. These battles that we're facing today that we think might count us out are actually the battles that when we win them are going to count us in for the next season of victory in your life today. I believe that today's uncertainties are developing a certainty in God. See, there's a certainty. I'm digging into something that we ain't got time for, but there was a certainty in David's voice that his brothers didn't have. Do you know why David was the one keeping the sheep? Because he was the youngest. Was anyone in the room, were you like the youngest child? Anybody in the room? Would you youngest children say that sometimes you don't just get the hand-me-down shirts, you get the hand-me-down jobs, right? You get the job, yeah, Phoenix is back here saying, yeah. You get the job of doing what no one else wants to do. You know, when David shows up to fight Goliath that day, his brothers all said this to him, why aren't you out there keeping those few sheep? They devalued what David had valued. See, I think that I don't have any proof of this. This is just me thinking. Probably shouldn't do that very often, but I do. When those brothers devalued what David had valued, probably lets me know that when those brothers were keeping the sheep, they probably didn't fight out the lion. They probably didn't fight out the bear. They said, it's just one sheep, Dad won't notice. Because they didn't value what David valued. And because they didn't value what David valued, when David showed up, he had a certainty that they didn't have. They could have all volunteered for the same job. They could have all said, listen, when I was keeping my dad's sheep, a wolf came out, a bear came out, a lion came out, and we slew them, and we're certain that just as God helped us, that day he'll help us today. But there was a certainty lacking in their life because they hadn't been faithful in seasons past. I'm just saying that the uncertainties you're facing today, if you'll trust God with it, will produce in you a certainty in Christ. We need it. But you got to keep your faith strong. You got to keep trusting him. If I run from today's pressure, if I run from uncertainty, I'm also running from tomorrow's opportunity. Megan and I were talking several months ago, just reflecting on seasons of our life and things that God's done for us. And she made the comment about one particular season of our life. And she said, you know, I think this was the season where God kind of grew me up. She said, you know, we were infused in this situation that was volatile and put in charge of some things that were chaotic. And she said, you know, God, it wasn't fun. It wasn't great, but God grew us up during that season years ago. And I looked at other seasons that I would call uncertainty. I would say, yeah, God used that season to heal us up. And then God used us to raise up people. I'm just telling you, you never know what God is developing in you during this moment of uncertainty. So you got to learn to trust the heart of God, point four, even when you don't understand his ways. Peter said in verse number 8, says, you love him even though you have not seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. Sometimes we think that in order for us to trust God, we have to understand him perfectly and see what he's up to. But Corinthians reminds us in chapter 5, verse number 7, that we walk by what? Faith, and not by what? Sight. We walk by faith, not by what we see. So you got to trust God even when you don't see what you want him to see. You know, y'all can help me. You can be my advocate for me. I've been wanting to take flying lessons. I don't know many of you in the room, you were in the Air Force and served in the military. God bless you for that. And you have a lot of experience with airplanes. And honestly, I spent the first 20 years of my life being halfway scared of them, and now I actually like to learn how to fly an airplane. Matter of fact, one flew over the house yesterday. I told Stella, hey, Stella, that's a little Cessna. That's what Daddy wants to learn how to fly one of these days. And so I asked Megan about it, and she told me I could take flying lessons. As soon as pigs learn how to fly, I can learn. And so you can help me. So since I can't go take the classes, what's the next best way to learn? YouTube, right? So I've been learning how to fly on YouTube. And so, you know, if you have a plane and you're crazy enough to let me, I'll take you for a flight. But I've learned there's two different ways you can fly. And you can help me with this if I got my facts wrong. But you can learn how to fly by sight, right? And you can only fly up to certain altitudes if you're going to fly by what you see. But then there's another way that you can fly, a second type of permit or license you can get. It's called flying by glass or flying by instruments, where you can fly even higher. And you can fly, if you're going to fly by sight, you got to fly in the most strenuous weather conditions. But if you're going to fly by instruments, you can pretty much fly anytime you want to. I wonder what that says about us. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you're only going to live by sight, you're going to have to operate a lot lesser altitude than what God has for you. But if we can learn to fly by our instruments, well, what does that mean? If we can learn to fly by the direction of the Holy Spirit and trusting Him and trusting God and trusting His Word, even what we see out here doesn't make sense. We can't see what we want to see. We can't see what we should see. But we've learned to trust God, even despite what we can see or what we can't see. Then, friends, you can navigate uncertainty better than you ever dreamed. You got to trust His heart, even when you can't see His ways. And fifth, you can trust Him even if you want to come. By preparing for the certain. See, there's Peter says you're going to navigate uncertainty by understanding there's joy ahead, there's wonderful future ahead. And for the believer, we always know that the days in front of us are better than the days behind us. If not in this life, we know for eternity, right? Because this life is giving way, this corroded life, this life that's been, you know, maligned by sin and people is giving way to the perfect life, to our life with Christ, our life beyond this world. That's why 1 Peter says the reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your soul. So no matter how uncertain this life gets, we know this life is not the end. Many of you, I've been meaning to bring this up for weeks, many of you are still reading the Word of God with us every single day. On the Bible app, we started at the beginning of the year reading the Word of God together. If you're not doing that and you'd like to jump on with us, you can still do that. And I get really encouraged when I log on and see that, you know, multitudes of people have already beat me for reading the Bible that day. It doesn't hurt my feelings, it helps my feelings. But I'll kind of give you this filter. If you're going to read from Acts chapter 1, to the end of your Bible and process what you're reading correctly, you have to read it with this particular pair of glasses on. Because everything that was written and everything that was spoken and everything that was acted upon in the New Testament from Acts chapter 1 through the end of the book was written with this reality in mind. Jesus is coming again. And it could be at this moment. If you read the New Testament and you don't have that set of lens on your eyes, then there's going to be a lot of stuff that you don't understand. Why could they endure pain? Why would they sacrifice so much? Why would they stand when everyone else was kneeling? Why would they give their lives in such a way? Because they understood this life is not all there is to life. They knew that Jesus was coming. They knew that Jesus said in John chapter 14, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I will come back so that you can be where I am. They knew that any moment could be the moment where Jesus came. And they understood that though everything we see is uncertain, there's one thing that is certain, that there's life for us beyond this life. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He had certainty beyond his uncertainty. He knew he could trust God. Today I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. we're going to pray this way. See, uncertainty, if you'll trust God through uncertainty, uncertainty is preparing you for the certain place he has for you. And the best path through uncertainty, I've said it multiple times today, let me say it again. The best path through uncertainty is trusting God. Trust him beyond your pain. Trust him that he's developing something in you. Trust him that your strong faith will be rewarded. Trust the heart of God even when you don't understand his action or what he's doing. And trust him, knowing that today's trust is preparing me, not just for this life, but life beyond this life. Today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in the room today. Say, Pastor, I need to trust God through this series of uncertainty that we're living in. And maybe the first step, the biggest step to trusting God is trusting him with your life, trusting him with salvation, letting him eradicate your past and your sin, and letting him sign you up, give you a brand new future. Let him exchange everything you've done wrong for everything that he's done right for you. And today, you say, Pastor, I'm not a Christ follower. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're in the room today. You say, Pastor, I'm not a Christ follower, but today I need to put my trust in Jesus. I need to choose today to start following him. You just sense the Spirit of God tugging on your heart today, saying, listen, you've hung around the name of Jesus. You've heard the name of Jesus, but today you need to start following him. You need to really start trusting him. The only way you're going to experience certainty in an uncertain time is if you're putting your trust in him. And you say, today I need to start following Jesus. We just lift a hand real quick. That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. I need to make that decision today. Amen? Who else today? Amen. Listen, for those who lifted your hand and those who are watching online, I'm so thankful that 1 John says that if we're faithful to confess our sins, that he is always faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. So in just a moment, we're going to pray. And today, I would challenge you to do that. Just confess your need of Christ. Declare to him, Lord, I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. And Lord, today I'm committing myself to you. In just a moment when we pray, would you take a moment and pray that prayer? And if you need some next steps, maybe this is your first time coming to the Lord, we'd love to connect with you after service. I'll be in the lobby. I can give you some direction on how to take the next steps. But secondly today, maybe you are plagued by uncertainty. You're looking for some certainty in the midst of your uncertainty. Can I tell you, Jesus is that certainty. And the way you put your hands on the certainty he offers you is with trust. You trust him. Today, say, Pastor, I need God to be my life sustainer. I need him to be that rock I stand on, that foundation that cannot be shaken, even in the midst of the world that is being shaken by everything else. Today you're dealing with uncertainty. Your world is being rocked. And you know it's because you've been putting your trust in other things. Listen, your Heavenly Father's just speaking to you today. Put your trust in me. Today, that's you. I just want to include you in this prayer today. But Lord, I'm going to trust you like never before. So that's how we're going to close in prayer. Would you join me by standing today all across this room? And I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for those who are watching online that you would put your trust in God fresh and new. Trust him for salvation, but you also trust him. Trust him with the uncertainties in your life. Father, I love you and I thank you for every person in the room today. Lord, I'm thankful for salvation that forgives us of our sins, eradicates our past, and puts us on the path to a brand new future. I'm thankful for those who lift their hands saying, listen, that's me today. I'm taking hold of new faith in Jesus. I'm following Jesus today. Lord, they've asked you in this moment to forgive them of their sins, and Lord, forgive them their past, and from this moment forward, they're committing to following you. I'm thankful for those who are committing themselves to you for salvation today. But Lord, I'm also thankful for the believers in this room who have been shaken by uncertainty. Lord, they've been, Lord, bewildered. They've been just, Lord, so bombarded by uncertainty these last days and weeks. But today, Lord, you're giving them something to hang on to. You're giving them your hand and your heart. And we grab hold of that, and you lead us through uncertainty with trust. Lord, we know the best way through uncertainty is trust in you. So I pray where there's been doubt, we'll resist that doubt and put our trust in you. I pray when there's been that temptation to go backwards, we'll resist that temptation and go forward in you. I pray for those who have been tempted to look to other people or other things, or they'll resist that and they'll look to you. The best path through uncertainty is trust in you. So today we choose to trust in you. We believe that today. In our closing act of worship, if there is a particular area of uncertainty you're dealing with today, maybe it's your family, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your job, maybe it's just a relationship issue, I would ask you right now, I'm going to lift my hands. I would ask you to join me to just lift that up to the Lord and surrender to him. And let's just close our time together by saying, Lord, we trust you with this. We trust you with our jobs. We trust you with our finances. We trust you with the relationships. We trust you with the bitterness that tries to erupt from our past. We trust you with those uncertainties that plague our mind. We trust you with the things we don't know, knowing you're the God that can lead us through things we don't know. We just submit it all to our Heavenly Father in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.